I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Cassandra Jones, Director of Media Relations for the Far West Division of the Sunrise Health System. The organization has a family-focused commitment to children, healthcare, and our community, and that commitment includes hosting a free Easter Bunny event for the kids. Cassandra, thank you so much for being here today.
Heather, thank you so much for having me on the show. I am so excited to tell you about the exciting event that we have coming up.
Awesome. Now, before we do that, for those who aren't familiar, what is the Sunrise Health System?
So the Sunrise Health System is comprised of four hospitals right here in Las Vegas, along with six freestanding emergency rooms. So we are Sunrise Hospital, Sunrise Children's Hospital, Southern Hills Hospital, and Mountain View Hospital. So those are our four core hospitals, and we even have six freestanding emergency rooms so that our community can get, of course, quick emergency care close to home. So we're a system of hospitals, we have our freestanding emergency rooms, and our mission is to care like family. And one of the ways that we do that is with some incredible community events, bringing families together, but also educating the community about our different services across our different hospitals, and of course, our freestanding emergency rooms.
Okay, how do you deliver that education to community members?
Sometimes we host teddy bear clinics, and these are super fun events where we have families that can come either to our hospital or our freestanding emergency rooms. And we basically take their little teddy bear and we take them through a checkup so they become familiar with a medical setting. Because a lot of times kids can be a little scared if they have to go to the hospital. Maybe they're sick, maybe they broke a bone. And I know that a hospital or even an emergency setting can be very intimidating for small children. So a lot of times it's educating parents. These are the steps. This is the routine you're going to go through. And they use their teddy bear to kind of see the different avenues of the care that they're going to be receiving. So maybe we're going to look in Teddy's eyes. We're going to take Teddy's temperature. Did Teddy hurt his arm or his leg? We're going to go ahead and we're going to wrap that and make sure Teddy's okay. So in the past, we've hosted some amazing teddy bear clinic events and just kind of walking families through that process, educating them on when to go to an ER versus going to an urgent care, and several different community lectures as well. So depending on the topic of the month, right now we have Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. We have some amazing doctors who also go out in our community, do these community talks, and kind of educate the public on different things that they should be aware of when it comes to their medical needs and also paying attention to your body.
That's fantastic. And besides the events and the education, what sorts of donations or funding have you done recently?
We've done a lot of funding here in our community recently. The HCA Healthcare Foundation, which is a part of the Sunrise Health System, awarded $100,000 worth of grants to four Las Vegas-based nonprofit organizations. So we gave donations to the United Way of Southern Nevada, Jobs for Nevada Graduates, Babies Bounty, and Lighthouse Charities. Each of those charities received $25,000 from our HCA Healthcare Foundation fund. So the Sunrise Health System, our parent company, is HCA Healthcare. So it's with that HCA Healthcare Foundation that we're able to do so much good in our community. And it's incredible to be able to give back in such a big way to our community partners. So, of course, we are always looking for those partnerships, and we have even more coming up later on this year.
That's amazing. All right. Now, what is this free Easter Bunny event that you have coming up?
So this is super exciting. This is the first time that we've ever done anything like this. And so Southern Hills Hospital is going to be hosting free photos with the Easter Bunny at one of its freestanding ER locations. So the name of the ER is ER at Desert's Edge, and it's located at 9075 Blue Diamond Road in Las Vegas. So it's right at the corner of Blue Diamond and El Capitan Way. Join us from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, April 12th. The Easter Bunny is going to be on site, ready for families to snap a quick photo. We're even going to have an Easter egg hunt, balloon artist, face painting, and a petting zoo, and Kona ice for purchase. And of course, Southern Hills Hospital is a part of the Sunrise Health System, and our mission is to care like family. So we love hosting these community events. We love seeing the kiddos come out all dressed up, their smiling faces, and get this opportunity to meet the Easter Bunny, do a fun little Easter egg hunt, and of course, go home with some goodies.
Yeah, that sounds like so much fun. So, since this is the first time you've done this, what prompted you to have an event like this?
So, like I had mentioned, we've done some of the teddy bear clinics in the past, but this is one of our newest freestanding emergency rooms in the Las Vegas Valley. And we thought, what a great way to say, hey guys, we're new to the neighborhood, than by throwing a big Easter bash to kind of let everybody know that we're here. Because, of course, you never want to need emergency services, but if you need us, we are here for you. So we just thought it was another great way to get out in the community. We've hosted free photos with Santa before at Southern Hills Hospital. So now this time you get to meet the Easter Bunny, and we're going to be hosting it at our freestanding location, ER at Desert's Edge.
Fantastic. So, where could listeners go if they want to find out more information about all these great educational sessions that you've mentioned or attend the free Easter Bunny event happening on April 12th?
Since the Easter Bunny event is going to be taking place at Southern Hills Hospital Medical Center's freestanding ER, you'll want to visit southernhillshospital.com for more information about the free Easter Bunny photos and free Easter event that will be taking place on Saturday, April 12th. But for more information about all of our hospitals and six freestanding ER locations where you can find quick emergency care close to home, you'll want to visit sunrisehealthinfo.com.
Awesome. Okay. So once again, those websites, sunrisehealthinfo.com is the general website for the Sunrise Health System. You can find out more about the educational events that they have throughout the community. You can find out where the various hospitals and other facilities are located, sunrisehealthinfo.com. And then if you want to find out more about this fun Easter Bunny event coming up on April 12th, go to southernhillshospital.com. Southernhillshospital.com. And again, that event is happening on April 12th from 2 to 4 p.m. at ER at Desert's Edge, which is the most recent Southern Hills Hospital standalone ER. So southernhillshospital.com for more info on that. And we've been speaking today with Cassandra Jones. She's Director of Media Relations for the Far West Division of the Sunrise Health System. And Cassandra, I really appreciate you being here and letting us know more about what the Sunrise Health System does in the community. I had no idea that there were so many fantastic events going on, free educational events and things for the kids to do. Sounds like such a great time that you've got planned for the kids on April 12th for the Easter Bunny event and also the other events that you mentioned happening all year round. So thank you so much for your time today and for sharing with us.
Thank you so much, Heather, for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vale, and joining me is Grace Giroge, Education Director at the Las Vegas Natural History Museum. There's always something happening at the museum or associated with the museum, including several special events in April. Grace, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having us.
So, what is the Las Vegas Natural History Museum?
So the Las Vegas Natural History Museum is an environment where you can get family-friendly, STEAM-focused educational activities every weekend. You can roll on through, and through research, through educational programs, we're offering an opportunity for our community to collaborate, partner together, and learn through play.
Nice. Okay. And how long has the museum been around?
Ooh, we are coming up on 34 years this July.
Wow, that's fantastic. And the exhibits that you have there on a regular basis, the permanent exhibits, what do some of those focus on?
So I like to say there's definitely something for everyone. So my favorite is the Marine Life Gallery, where you're going to have the tank in the middle with our live creatures, our bamboo shark, our epaulette sharks. You're going to see horseshoe crabs. I love spending time in there because I love the sound of the running water. The lionfish, our axolotl. And then if you turn the corner, you're going to get to see our prehistoric life exhibit, where you're going to travel back in time and see different depictions of what scientists believe that these dinosaurs looked like and get to learn information about that. And then also a fan favorite is our Treasures of Egypt gallery. Well, you'll get to see an exact replica of the Howard Carter discovery.
Of King Tut?
Of King Tut. You're exactly right.
Awesome. That's great. All right. Now, beyond the permanent exhibits, what are some of the upcoming events that you have for April?
April is going to be so much fun. So starting in April, on April 12th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., we are opening up our traveling exhibit, which is going to be Rainforest Adventure, created by Minotaur Mazes. There is a zip line on this. It's so much fun. It's just
wow.
A great time. And we're going to open it up with a really fun event. It's going to be activities throughout the galleries. There'll be a petting zoo there. We're just going to have a blast. And then the very next weekend, we are going to be celebrating all of the incredible, diverse artists that we have here in Las Vegas and how we are all connected through nature. So Harmony and Diversity Day is going to be Saturday, April 19th, that same 10 to 3 time frame. And when you come on out, you're going to get to meet artists, see their art, listen to performances, which are readings and musicians and art demonstrations. It's going to be so much fun. And again, family friendly, definitely something for everyone. And then we're going to continue on the fun and learning with the Las Vegas Science and Technology Festival, which kicks off on April 25th.
Okay. And what's the Las Vegas Science and Technology Festival all about? Obviously, science and technology, but...
Totally fair. So there are going to be 9 jam-packed days of free events all across the Las Vegas Valley. And the goal is that there's engaging and educational programming to spark curiosity and highlight the amazing science, technology, engineering, and math that takes place right here in our community. So the festival is a way to make science fun, make it accessible and engaging for everyone, kids, families, and adults. And this year we have over 100 organizations participating. So again, there's definitely something for everyone.
What are some of the locations across the valley where the Science and Technology Festival is taking place?
Well, of course, we're going to have Ologist Night right here at the Las Vegas Natural History Museum. And then we're going to partner with the Nevada National Security Sites. And all locations can be found on our website at scifest.vegas.
Perfect. Now, you said Ologist Night at the museum?
Yes.
Okay, what is that?
Ologist Night. Okay, Ologist Night is really fun because it's a juxtaposition of all the different ologists here that are local, and you can come and see what they're working on. Like you can see what our entomologists are working on, our herpetologists are working on, and they're going to have demonstrations at their table. But you get to talk to the scientists and see why what they're doing matters and how it directly impacts Las Vegas.
Wow, what a fascinating topic for a night. That's awesome.
It's a fun time.
All right, so for the Science and Technology Festival, you've got various things happening across the valley, including the night at the museum, the other events, the Rainforest Adventure, Harmony and Diversity Day. Those are happening at the museum. Where exactly is the museum?
We are located right next to Cashman Center at 900 Las Vegas Boulevard North. Be sure to put that north in your GPS or it's going to take you the opposite way, right on the corner of Washington and Las Vegas Boulevard.
Okay, so it's basically just north of the freeway.
Yes.
If you go south, you're heading downtown and onto the strip. And if you go north, that's where the museum is.
Yes, we are north.
Okay.
It's so funny because I'm from Vegas and I'm like, I only know things by landmarks.
Yeah, I'm one of those north-south people.
Fair. I'm like, who knows what the directions are? We are right by Cashman Center.
And that's helpful too. It's, you know, it's a cultural corridor there, right?
Absolutely. We are right smack dab in the heart of the cultural corridor.
That's perfect. All right. So you mentioned the website for the Las Vegas Science and Technology Festival is scifest.vegas.
Yes.
And that's where they can find out all the information about the various events that are happening as part of the Las Vegas Science and Technology Festival, 9 events all across the valley. And that's happening between April 25th and when does it end?
It ends on May 3rd, and it ends with that giant expo that's going to be at the World Market Center. It's a free event, and it is amazing. So if you are looking for something to do that Saturday, grab your friends, grab your children, and head on down. There's over 100 participants, and each booth you go to, we're looking at hydroponics, archery, trampolines. It's just a really great time.
Wow, that sounds great. And then what's the main website for the Las Vegas Natural History Museum where people can find out more about the Las Vegas Natural History Museum in general, some of your permanent exhibits, and also the other events that you mentioned are happening in April?
You can check out all of the events at lvnhm.org.
All right, perfect. So once again, lvnhm.org is the main website for the Las Vegas Natural History Museum, just the initials, lvnhm.org. You can find out more about the Las Vegas Natural History Museum, which is about to celebrate its 34th year in Las Vegas. And of course, the events coming up in April, we've got the Rainforest Adventure opening on April 12th. We've got Harmony and Diversity Day on Saturday, April 19th. We've got the Las Vegas Science and Technology Festival. Now that website is specific to the festival, scifest.vegas, if you're interested in finding out more about the Las Vegas Science and Technology Festival. Of course, the Ologist Night at the museum is happening at the Las Vegas Natural History Museum, but there are other events happening across the valley, including the World Market Center for that closing event. So scifest.vegas for that. And we've been speaking today with Grace Giroge. She's Education Director at the Las Vegas Natural History Museum. And Grace, it seems like there's so much going on at the museum all the time that it's really hard to keep track of what you've got going on, all these great events. I mean, April is just a perfect example of the fact that you've always got something interesting going on, something new going on, besides all those permanent exhibits that you talked about, which have expanded greatly since I first went there like 12, 15 years ago. But always something happening at the museum or associated with the museum. And it's so great to hear from you about it. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much. We look forward to connecting with y'all.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
I'm Heather Vale, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Tamla Oates-Forney, CEO of SHRM Linkage. March is Women's History Month, and women still face discrepancies in the workplace, including a pay gap and a lack of representation in leadership positions. Tamla, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
So, first of all, what exactly is SHRM Linkage?
So SHRM Linkage is a talent development organization that partners with organizations who are committed to advancing and empowering women in the workplace to achieve career success. And it's not at the exclusion of men. Women make up such a significant part of the workforce, and we want to make sure that their matriculation is commensurate to their output, their education, and their contributions. And so we work with companies to do that.
Okay. And a few weeks ago, we had a representative from SHRM, the Society for Human Resource Management. So SHRM oversees linkage activities. Is that how it works?
We are a subsidiary, a business unit within the SHRM company.
Nice. Okay. And what did the recent Equal Pay Day report that you did reveal about gender discrepancy in the workplace?
So while we've made progress, so in 1979, women made 62.3% for every dollar that a man made. So that was in 1979. As of 2024, that number is up to 82.7%. So there has been progress made, but until there's a one-to-one, then that shows that there's still opportunities for further progress. What I am optimistic about is there has now been a lot more pay transparency going on outside of, you know, a company. So when they post jobs and they advertise jobs, they do so with the range. And then if you think about all the data that's out there on the internet, you know, women can research kind of what does this job pay? What should I be expecting to receive? And so I think having that accessibility gives them the tools that they need to advocate for what the value of the job is. The other thing that I'm optimistic about is companies are taking a more objective approach, meaning valuing the job, the position. So looking at what is the position within the organization? What does the market demand or pay? And what is the value that we place on the role? And then they do that in advance of putting a person in that position. And so they were able to make an objective call on the value of the job. So you have the candidate or employee having access to data, and now the company being more objective in terms of how they price positions, creating the probability of there being equal pay for equal work. And so I'm very optimistic about what I'm seeing and the whole access to information that creates the opportunity for women to advocate for what's right has now become even more transparent. So that gives me a lot of hope. And we are making progress, as evident by the stats that I gave you earlier.
Yeah, definitely. Now, a lot of people that I talk to think that the pay gap no longer exists, but your data obviously says otherwise. So what's causing the gap beyond just gender differences? Are men more educated than women in those particular fields?
No, I mean, I think you have to do the analysis and the audit by company, and there could be different reasons. And some of those reasons could be, you know, a person may have more years of experience, but if those years of experience are not a requirement for the job, then you really don't have to pay for the more years of experience, right? But some companies pay for that. Another reason could be that, you know, the entry level base that a person comes into an organization. And so say, for instance, if I was working for another company and I said I was making $75,000 at this company, and then you have a male working at another company that comes in, he might have been making $85,000. So his base is already higher than the $75,000. And oftentimes companies give a percentage increase on top of where you were in order to attract you, because most people are not going to want to come to a company unless they're making more money. And so sometimes it just starts from where you start that really impacts what they offer you. So there are a number of different reasons, which is why it's required for companies to do their due diligence in terms of where the discrepancies and how do you rationalize the discrepancies? Because some cases there may be a rational explanation as to why there is a difference, but that should be the exception versus the norm. And so again, I'm very optimistic about the progress that I'm seeing, and we're not there yet. And the 82.7% of the dollar is a median view. So we have some places where that could be lower, but then we also have some spaces where that number is even stronger, like where women make up predominantly the workforce, if you will. So that number ranges from 63.8% of the dollar at the lowest end up to 97.4% of the dollar at the top end. And so you have to look at it by industry, by company, in order to really assess where there are opportunities.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. Now, if equal pay and representation were in place, how would that help companies reach their business goals better?
I think it's a talent optimization play. I think, you know, anytime you have a business strategy, your ability to execute that will be dependent on the talent that you have on the team, right? And so you want to be able to recruit, retain, and develop the best talent. And if you're able to do that, then the company does really well. If I think about what's going on in the workplace, as I said before, workforce participation rates are declining, the labor pool is shrinking, skills are declining, we have to reskill and upskill the workforce. So we really have a talent shortage. So it's incumbent upon companies, if they want to win, they have to make sure that they have the right talent and that they're able to maximize the contributions of every single person on their team, and they're able to retain that talent. A lot of those retention techniques is tied to what you pay them. Right? If you're paying them fairly and they feel like they're paid for the value that they bring, the retention is there. If they are retained, the company does better. So it all works hand in hand, but it's all about optimizing the talent that you have on your team to make sure that they're able to contribute and help you achieve your business goals.
Yeah, okay, definitely. Now, what is SHRM Linkage doing to help women advance their careers?
So a couple of things. So first, we start with working with organizations to determine what's going on in their talent landscape. And are there discrepancies between how men are matriculating and then how women are matriculating in their workforce? And to the extent there is a, you know, discrepancy, we ask why and what can we do in order to reverse that trend. And so first doing the almost like a diagnostic review of what's happening in a particular workplace and what are the contributors to that and how could it be course corrected, either through intervention, through mentoring, through sponsorship, but also through, you know, putting them in certain jobs that will help them develop certain skills that will make them competitive for the future. So it's very individualized and customized for companies where we work at, but we've been in business for over 36 years. And so we have a lot of research on, you know, things that, you know, companies can be doing to ensure the probability of success in the workplace. We also know that there are internal hurdles that women may struggle with that may be unique to men. And so how do we help them overcome that through coaching and partnership and things of that nature? But then there are external realities that we talked about previously. And so looking at all of that together to say, what is causing women not to be able to matriculate at the same rate of men? Are there any systemic issues in terms of how you develop your talent? All those things have to come into play. So there's not a one size fits all. It's very customized to the companies that we partner with. And we do a pretty thorough assessment and then work with them to address those things. And I want to make sure that everybody knows we're doing this and it's not at the exclusion of men at all. We're just trying to optimize every single talent that we have and help companies optimize every single talent that they have on the team. And to the extent women are disadvantaged, we want to make sure that there's a course correction so that all employees and can contribute to and succeed and help the company accomplish its business goals.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So where can listeners go for more information about SHRM linkage and about this issue?
Absolutely. Visit us at our website, and it's at shermlinkage.org, or you can go to sherm.org and you can find SHRM linkage there. We are always here to help. And again, we are excited about the partnerships that we have with companies and helping them to achieve business success through talent optimization.
Perfect. Okay. So once again, SHRM.org is the main website for SHRM, which is the Society for Human Resource Management. Now that is spelled SHRM.org, SHRM.org. If you go to SHRM.org/linkage, that'll take you directly to the SHRM linkage page. And we've been speaking today with Tamla Oates-Forney. She's CEO of SHRM Linkage. And Tamla, I really appreciate you being here and sharing this data, giving us a glimpse into the reality, dispelling some myths. This is an important topic, especially during Women's History Month, but all year round. And of course, since you're working with everybody in the workforce, making sure that everybody gets equality, it's such a great goal to be working towards. So I really appreciate you being here and thank you so much for your time today.
So much for having me. Have a good one.
If you're a woman, talk to your doctor by age 25 about your risk of getting breast cancer. More women under 40 are getting breast cancer, and these cancers are often more deadly. The American College of Radiology recommends you ask your doctor if you should get a mammogram before age 40, need other tests like an MRI with your yearly mammogram, or if at high risk should be checked more than once a year. For more information, visit mammographysaveslives.org.
I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Alice Little Caldwell, who has been in remission from myeloma for 26 years. March is Myeloma Awareness Month, and the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, or LLS, is improving the lives of blood cancer patients through free support, research, and advocacy efforts. Alice, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
So for those who aren't familiar with the condition, what exactly is myeloma?
Multiple myeloma is a blood cancer. It involves certain cells in the bone marrow called plasma cells that actually make immunoglobulins. You have this kind of rogue set of cells that sort of take over your bone marrow and squeeze out all the good cells.
What symptoms did you experience leading up to your diagnosis?
Well, At the time, I was 43 years old. I considered myself to be in good health. And I did have some sort of annoying little infections that I thought were kind of strange for somebody who was healthy. But I also developed some little pinpoint hemorrhages on my lower legs. And I went to see my GYN for my routine evaluation. And I thought it was because I was running. And he checked my hemoglobin, and I was very anemic. And we tried some iron, but it was worse when I got it rechecked. So I was sent to a hematologist who on the day that I went to see him did a bone marrow biopsy and diagnosed me with multiple myeloma.
So what specifically is multiple myeloma?
Well, it is a cancerous bone marrow process, and people can have very vague symptoms. Say maybe they'll have some lingering back pain, which I'm a physician, I'm a pediatrician, and so we always think of common things first. And so it's not the first diagnosis oftentimes, but people may have other symptoms, you know, more vague, nonspecific symptoms. Like I had some minor infections and so forth. So a lot of people end up, you know, being sort of surprised by the diagnosis. But there are a lot of good treatments, and those have evolved quite a bit in the last 26 years.
Yeah. So when you first learned that you did have multiple myeloma, you got that diagnosis, how did you feel?
Well, it was very shocking because I didn't think of myself as a typical myeloma patient. Typically, it is a disease of older people, particularly males. African Americans are also highly represented in this patient population. So I was a relatively young person at age 43. But I felt hopeful because even though I had kind of a scary prognosis at the time, I was told that I had 2 to 4 years. But there were treatments, and I underwent chemotherapy and then 2 stem cell transplants, which was fairly new technology at that time, and I went into remission. And I expected that I would go out of remission. I was told that each time you go out of remission, it's harder to treat. But I've been fortunate a lot of ways, so I've never been out of remission.
That's amazing. So they gave you a 2 to 4 year prognosis. And then in spite of that, you've been in remission for over a quarter of a century, for 26 years.
Yes, I know. And my doctor that, because I still get follow-ups every year, and my doctor says that the outlook for myeloma patients is amazing. And he considers me one of his longest surviving patients. But he says that his myeloma clinics are filled with people who are surviving it and living really productive lives.
Wow, that's great. So what did you learn during your myeloma journey and your personal experience that you would want others to know?
Well, I guess one of the main things is that, you know, they could tell you your prognosis, but maybe you don't let it hold you back. So my doctor had said that I could be on disability. But I just felt like I needed to go back to work. You know, I have been very fortunate. I returned to good health. I had excellent medical care, good results. So I did go back to work, and I've worked at the same place now for 25 years. So I think I also was a good patient. I tried to do what the doctors told me to do. And I didn't try to go on to research things and, you know, go off on tangents. And it worked for me. So I would say, don't give up hope. Always try to be productive in your life, because you never know what's going to happen and you might have a better result than you think.
Yeah, excellent point. Now, what type of work have you been doing to support the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society and be involved in the blood cancer community?
Well, I think it was maybe a year or so after I went into remission, I started reading about team and training events. And it was a leap of faith, but I signed up for the Lake Tahoe Century bike ride, which was scary because I love biking, but I've never done anything so long. And I was afraid of the fundraising. And so I did it. It turned out great. It was so inspiring to work with other people and train with other people. And so this year, I've done 16 now team and training events. I've even signed up for one in June. It sort of gets in your system and you keep thinking, I think I want to do it again. It's wonderful to do the training and also just to get to know the other people who are also working on the same thing.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So how can our listeners find out more about the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society or access the various free resources that they offer?
Well, they can visit the website, lls.org, or they can call this number, 1-800-955-4572, and speak to one of the specialists on the line there.
All right. And just to recap, what sorts of resources does the LLS offer to survivors and patients?
Well, I think that there is financial support for people who are having trouble with the cost of care. Also, there's just a lot of information about the various diseases. And also, it provides a community. And when I was in Arkansas, where I was getting treated, they put me in touch with people who could kind of support me. And I think that community support, support from families and your church, everyone in your community can make a big difference and really support you during your journey.
That's fantastic. So once again, that website is lls.org. That stands for Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Short and simple, lls.org. Or you can give them a call, 800-955-4572, 800-955-4572. And we've been speaking today with Alice Little Caldwell. She's been in remission from multiple myeloma for 26 years, and she works with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, spreading the word of the resources, the support, and the advocacy that the organization offers. Alice, I really appreciate you being here, sharing your story, letting us know more about myeloma for Myeloma Awareness Month, and also sharing your positive experiences and your words of encouragement for others. So thank you so much for your time today.
Well, thank you also.
My name is William Yank. I'm a 23-year-old, three-time leukemia survivor. Leukemia Lymphoma Society was this unforeseen blessing for me because I wouldn't have been able to get CAR T-cell therapy. Ways that I advocate for cancer is probably mostly through my podcast and my Instagram or TikTok. It's so vitally important that we have Leukemia Lymphoma Society on our side.
To give or get help, visit lls.org.
I'm Heather Vale, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Kathleen Bierkens, founder of A Wellness Revolution and author of the award-winning new book, Your Creator Matrix, How to Use Optimal Wellness and Quantum Healing to Master Your Story and Create Your Reality. Kathleen, thank you so much for being here today.
No, I'm really excited. Thank you for having me, Heather.
So what inspired you to write your new book, Your Creator Matrix?
Well, I've been working in the field of health and wellness. I was a nurse originally at Georgetown University, and I took care of a lot of very sick people, obviously many years. And the thing is, it was just very frustrating because I wanted to really think that when they left the hospital, they were going to get well. You know, that was my intention, to go into nursing and to medicine, because I have a lot of doctors in my family. But that's not the reality I saw. I saw a lot of chronic illnesses and obviously a lot of people who died and a lot of even very young people. So it got worse and worse, and even in labor and delivery. So I was very kind of, after I left that, I was a bit burned out. And I thought to myself, why do people come in the hospital and they're so out of balance and they're so sick and they have no idea they are? Why do we have a system that can't really help them except for to put them on chronic? And sometimes you need medicines, don't get me wrong. But in general, I didn't find the answers to really wellness, you know? I wanted people to be thriving, not just surviving.
Right. So how do our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual selves work together to create that holistic health?
That's such a good question. Basically, we are only as healthy as our cells can be, and all of parts of us are existing simultaneously. So what we just don't have a system yet where we're really educating our doctors on all that we are multidimensional. It was like a taboo to even think of the mental illness. And that was put in a separate place, as if a mental illness was not a physical illness. And that was weird also as a nurse. I was on a mental ward for a while, and how that went. And I think what I've learned through my research and helping people heal for many years is that all three, mental, physical, and emotional, all exist like together, and they all have to be functioning optimally for us to be healthy. If they are not all functioning well, like perfect, in harmony with each other, then we're not well. And you know that, like when you have like kind of depression or sadness, and it sort of takes over, right? It does affect your physical. And now we know on a physical level, Candace Pert was a very well-known doctor and scientist researcher, and she showed that actually our hormones are on the cell level, and they have frequencies, like everything is a frequency. So when we have a low frequency emotion, it's good. It's part of our experience. It's like talking to us. It's telling us how we're doing. And if we're paying attention, because our body's always, body, mind, spirit complex is always trying to communicate with us how we're doing, but are we listening? So what Dr. Pert said is that actually it's about getting stuck in that emotion, not feeling it. Feeling it is to tell us something and to work through something, but most of us, then we can get stuck. And then what happens is all of our cells function on a very low frequency, and that can set us up for all dis-ease, which is basically imbalance. And so the emotions have a huge effect. Also, we are spiritual beings having a temporary human experience. So when people don't understand that they are connected, they have a higher self and they come from somewhere and they are just energy. When they don't realize that, they just think I'm only physical. Then they also cannot tap into, like I would say, our true power as human beings to replenish our energy fields and be strong. And we're, research is now showing that our biofield is so powerful, and that actually there's more and more research, even though the medical world is slow to adapt, but there's more and more research showing how the biofields directly affect our cellular well-being. So basically, it's a very hard question after many years of research, but I would say it's not hard. It's about the person, each of us recognizing that we have power and that our emotions matter, emotional intelligence, you know, our mind matters, what we think about all day long. If we're constantly thinking of negative thoughts, well, we're going to get more of the negative. And that's really what we're finding. And people in my age, I'm much older, we didn't realize how powerful our thoughts were and how they impact our reality. And when you see this new generation, you see they're really starting to understand this. But it's about living it, right? You can understand. First stage, understanding. Second stage, actually living. And I think that's the process we're in right now.
Okay. So what does it mean to be the creator of our own story and our own reality?
Yeah. So we, what I've found in my life is that we are creative. Human beings are supposed to be creating something. Actually, when they're not in a creative mode at all, they get very bored. If they're in a job that's just like they have to just go to work and it's, they have no inspiration and they don't feel like they're bringing anything new or exciting. They just get bored. And so that's one thing. But what we also see is that people are under stress. And they're in so much stress just to survive, they can't even go to the point where they are creative. So what I think I found out from my research is that as human beings, we are creating our reality all the time, but we don't realize it because we haven't been trained in that way. And our very thoughts are influencing what is happening. And then people can say, how do we know that? Well, we know that through science and also the subconscious, the power. We have a conscious mind, which is what we're thinking now, like you and I talking about the, you know, what's happening now or in the future or in the past. But we also have this very powerful subconscious mind, and the subconscious is actually running programs all day long. And what we're finding out is that subconscious mind is directly impacting the field of which we live that brings things to us. So what I say in the book is that it's the mind. It's these limiting beliefs in the subconscious that have come from our experiences and what we believe about our world and ourselves. It comes from these low emotions kind of that are tagged on that we get stuck in. And it also comes from our physical body, because in the end, our body is our temple. And if we don't treat it well and don't take care of it, and yeah, and it's really hard, I know, as a nurse, to take care of our bodies, because it just is. It's like eating the right food for us. It's, you know, getting the right exercise. And it's not like everybody's the same. We used to think everyone was the same. That is not true. So that's another thing in the medical world that's changing, because we used to say, oh, you come in with these symptoms, you've got to be treated with these medicines and this particular treatment. But what we're realizing is every person's unique, and we might not all need the same amount or the same thing. And this has taken a long time for me to understand.
Yeah. Okay. Now, most people have probably heard about the law of attraction by now and manifestation, but, you know, they might write it off as, oh, well, you know, that's just woo-woo. So what's the science behind manifesting according to quantum physics?
Yeah, so quantum physics is telling us that everything, that we are all actually one, that we're not separate. So one of the illusions is that we are just separate completely. And actually, when people are separated and they don't feel like they have any connection to anybody or anything, they don't feel very happy. So we are meant to understand that we are all connected to each other. Now, are we absolutely connected like the same being? No. We're separate beings, but we're connected. So that's what quantum physics is telling us. And it's showing us that everything has a frequency and that even our thoughts have a frequency and they're real. Like we can't see the thoughts, but they actually have a frequency. So when we're constantly thinking, let's say, I'll never get that job. I'm not good enough. My mother told me, you know, I'm not talented enough or whatever the limiting belief is. And we believe it. We really believe it. Then we go to get that job. But in our inner core, we don't believe that we're going to get that job. That has an impact on us getting that job. And so the law of attraction is saying that we attract to us our reality, and quantum physics is showing us how that happens. But what I want to say is when they taught us about the law of attraction, they didn't tell us about the law of vibration. And that's the key, that we, all parts of ourselves, like the body, mind, spirit that I've been discussing, have to be in alignment with that which we want to bring into our reality. So that new job, if we really believe we're not worthy, we won't get it. But if we work on it and we kind of reprogram that feeling of not being worthy to being worthy, our life, we start to see these changes. So that's the problem with the law of attraction, is that people thought, oh, I just think I'm worthy. But if inside, in the subconscious, we still have this default that, no, you're not worthy, you're never going to get it, then we won't. And so we have to learn to reprogram those limiting beliefs and really work on and self-reflection, which is not easy for people, right? I think that's a difficult thing for people to really get a good sense of, what are my limiting beliefs? I always say to my clients, is everything showing up in your life like you really like it? Are your relationships going well? Is your career really giving you fulfillment and excitement? And are you doing well in your finances? If all those areas in your life are thriving, then you have nothing to work on.
Right.
But where you have to work on is the areas that are showing up that are not in alignment with what you truly want.
Now, obviously, a lot of the things we experience in life were created based on our subconscious and emotions, like you've been talking about. So then how can we choose our habits and beliefs instead of being trapped by them?
Yeah, so neuroscience is showing us a lot. I talk a lot about this in the book. We really need first to be in the observation mode of ourselves, which isn't always easy when we're stressed out, burned out. And so sometimes, like I was speaking to someone yesterday, and they said, I had to leave the job. I had to leave all the security to come back to myself to realize what I really needed. I had to face the fears. And a lot of us are not facing our fears. We're just running from them. So a lot of times we get really busy and we create a lot of things in our life and we don't really do the work of facing those fears, because underlying, you know, those, like Len, when things are showing up in our life and we don't like them, are usually some limiting belief based on a fear. So let's say you do have a fear that you're not worthy. Well, the fear could be even more, well, someone will see how unworthy I am, and then I will be, you know, I have to hide this. Like, you don't know the exact limiting belief, but it's, for a lot of people, it has a lot to do with self-esteem issues. And so we are meant to love ourselves completely and believe in ourselves, and we will not manifest the life we dream of if that's not in order.
Interesting. All right. Now, these are obviously deep and very complicated topics, but so important to our lives. So if people are interested, where can they find out more about this or get a copy of your new book, Your Creator Matrix, How to Use Optimal Wellness and Quantum Healing to Master Your Story and Create Your Reality?
Yeah, so they can get it on Amazon. And I do give out 100 free books every month just for humanity, because it was my feeling that I just wanted to give this information to the world. So they can look for that on Kindle. And I definitely train a lot of health and wellness coaches all over the world to be excellent health and wellness coaches and help with the change in the medical system right now. So they can look up A Wellness Revolution, where I have my website and we have a school to train holistically in coaching.
Nice. Okay. So A Wellness Revolution is Kathleen's company. A Wellness Revolution, and you can find that at awellnessrevolution.com. You can find out more information about her and the work that she does. Now, if you'd like to check out the book we've been talking about today, Your Creator Matrix, How to Use Optimal Wellness and Quantum Healing to Master Your Story and Create Your Reality, it's an award-winning book. You can get that on Amazon, or you can find out more, again, at her website, awellnessrevolution.com. And we've been speaking today with Kathleen Bierkens. She's founder of A Wellness Revolution and author of the award-winning new book, Your Creator Matrix. And Kathleen, I really love talking about this topic because it's so important and it's something that most people don't really pay attention to because it's going on below the surface. We don't always know what's happening when it's not in our conscious mind.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's complicated, right? We weren't trained like this. It's unfortunate, but we are changing. The world is changing. And you can see with little children, when you listen to them, they're becoming so more aware than we were. I'm just amazed every time I meet children now and how aware they are on how to handle their emotions. And it starts there.
Yeah, absolutely. So once again, Your Creator Matrix, How to Use Optimal Wellness and Quantum Healing to Master Your Story and Create Your Reality. You can find it on Amazon. And we've been speaking with Kathleen Bierkens, the author. Thank you so much for your time today, Kathleen.
Oh, thank you, Heather. And good luck with the work you do. Thank you so much.
Did you know that those with mental health challenges can be right in front of our eyes, but still go unseen? Behind some smiles, there's hidden pain because our struggles aren't always on the surface. And they can affect anyone, anywhere, at any time. It's okay not to feel okay. There's strength in connecting and seeking help. Share, connect, get informed. Your mental health is in your hands. Visit melaninthriving.com/mental health in your hands.
This message brought to you by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include this Monday, March 24th at 8 p.m. benefiting Care Chest, and Monday, April 7th at 8 p.m. benefiting the ProStart program. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. The 22nd annual Walk with the Heart of a Child to support the Children's Heart Foundation is happening next Saturday, March 29th at Craig Ranch Regional Park, with 9 a.m. registration and 10 a.m. opening ceremonies and walk. Vendors, community partner booths, Kids Zone, and food trucks will be on site. Find out more or register to walk at chfn.org. That stands for Children's Heart Foundation Nevada, chfn.org. The 7th annual Walk for Friendship Las Vegas Fundraiser Walk and Community Carnival is happening on Sunday, March 30th, with check-in at 10 a.m., welcome ceremony at 11 a.m., walk at 11:30, and carnival from noon to 2 at Las Vegas Sports Park, 1400 North Rampart. Support the Friendship Circle's efforts to provide social and recreational opportunities for children and young adults with disabilities. Find out more or register at walkforfriendshiplv.com. That's the number 4, walkforfriendshiplv.com. The Nevada Partnership for Homeless Youth, or NPHY, is holding their annual plastic food drive through March 31st. You can purchase gift cards through their Amazon wish list, make a donation online, or drop off fast food and grocery gift cards at the NPHY Drop-In Center, 4981 Shirley Street near UNLV, Monday through Friday from 8 to 5. Donate or find out more at nphy.org. That's nphy.org. The Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department Foundation is holding their 8th annual Hidden Heroes Black and White Gala honoring the LVMPD Honor Guard on Saturday, April 5th at 5:30 p.m. at Fontainebleau, Las Vegas. Find out more info or get your tickets at lvmpdfoundation.org/hidden-heroes. That's lvmpdfoundation.org/hidden-heroes. Southern Hills Hospital is hosting a free Easter Bunny event at their newest freestanding ER location on Saturday, April 12th from 2 to 4 p.m. at ER at Desert's Edge, Blue Diamond Road and El Capitan Way. Kids can enjoy free photos with the Easter Bunny, face painting, balloon artists, and a petting zoo. Find out more at southernhillshospital.com. That's southernhillshospital.com. The Collaboration Center's 5th annual Night en Blanc Gala is happening on Friday, April 25th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Collaboration Center's campus, 8390 West Windmill between Durango and Buffalo. This year's honoree is Mayor Shelley Berkeley, and proceeds support the Collaboration Center's programming for families touched by disabilities. Get tickets or more information at collablv.org. That's collablv.org. April is World Wish Month, and Make-A-Wish Nevada is holding their 24th annual Walk for Wishes fundraising event on Saturday, April 26, with 7 a.m. registration and the walk and run starting at 8 a.m. at Town Square, Las Vegas. Sign up or find out more information at walkforwishesnv.com. That's walkforwishesnv.com. And Aid for AIDS of Nevada, or AFAN, is hosting the 35th annual AIDS Walk Las Vegas on Sunday, April 27th, with registration at 8:30 a.m., resource fair at 9 a.m., and walk at 10 a.m. at Las Vegas Ballpark. Penn and Teller return as grand marshals for the 24th consecutive year. Register for the event or find out more at afanlv.org. That stands for Aid for AIDS Nevada, afanlv.org.